The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
PNF, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Shots fired by the Cowboys? Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3777. I don't know how many sevens I think are in this thing. It's not 3777776. Rog, that's too many numbers. It's 729-3776, of course. Tom Brady, in the words of Darth Vader, impressive, most impressive. But this Brady Super Bowl run was not the best ever, and it's not close. There are two, clearly and by far, better than this one. Going to get into that in a second. But New York, I think you know what I'm talking about. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Dak Prescott was not included in the Cowboys' 2021 season hype video. The team's senior director of media programming said, trust me, there's no story here. What was the scene from The Naked Gun? Nothing to see here. Please disperse. Right? They had the chalk, you know, outline of the body. Right. The Dallas Cowboys got a bullhorn now. There's a chalk outline of a body in the shape of Dak Prescott. Nothing to see here. Please disperse. Is that an honest mistake, really? The Cowboys just forgot to include their franchise quarterback in their hype video for the season? No. No one believes that. Of course not. Adam Schefter said last week, I think it was last week, that the over-under on quarterback changes this season, meaning how many teams will have a new quarterback for this upcoming season, the over-under is 18. There are only 32 teams. It's more than half the teams. 18 teams are switching quarterbacks. And he took the over, meaning he thinks at least 19. And maybe the Cowboys are one of them. Look, think about it if you're from the Cowboys' point of view. I keep saying, like, if you look at a percentage of the cap that the that the quarterback is going to suck up, right? It's huge. And unless you if you give them a competitive deal, you know, near the top of the market, Dak's not going to get what Mahomes got, and probably not what Deshaun Watson got because they're better. But in that, you know, look at everyone else's contract, Goff and Wentz. And those are the guys in his quarterback draft class. They went 1 and 2. He went in the fourth round. So the Cowboys have to be looking at the Rams and the Eagles. And at this moment, it looks like Dak's going to be better than Goff or Wentz. At this moment, his future looks brighter. Wentz at one point in his career looked like the best player in football. Then he got hurt and his team won the Super Bowl. Jared Goff has been to a Super Bowl and has been to two Pro Bowls. But their teams gave them elite quarterback contracts when they were not elite quarterbacks. And what happened? Jared Goff's team had the Rams had to give up two firsts and a third to turn Goff into Stafford. And part of the reason for all the draft capital they had to give up is not just, well, Stafford is two first and a third better than Goff. It's that Goff had a big, fat contract, and Stafford has a more team-friendly deal with fewer years on it for less money. That's what the draft capital is there to offset, not just the talent difference between Stafford and Goff. I think the consensus is Stafford's better. Is he much better? All right. I don't know. And Carson Wentz now is about to get traded. You know the cap hit the Eagles are about to take? They got contracts that the teams were saying, we hope you live up to this. Now, think about the Cowboys. Had they given Dak the deal? They offered it to him in line with the Wentz and Goff deals. Dak didn't sign. I think he got some bad advice from his agent who wanted a shorter deal to take advantage of what they believe is going to be a better situation going forward. So they want to get out of that deal earlier and redo it. And then Dak got hurt. So just as a statement of fact, well, you didn't know he was going to get hurt. Okay, fine. But as a statement of fact, the Rams deal that they gave to Goff hurt them. The Eagles deal they gave to Wentz hurt them. Both teams clearly regretted it. And had Dak signed the deal the Cowboys were offering, they would have regretted it. The Cowboys would have, because he just got hurt. So, like, let's say, well, prorated, it's when you work it out, it's $35 million a year he was being offered altogether. Well, if you miss a season and they're still giving you the $35 million, they really gave you more like $45 or $50 a year, right? For, in terms of the year, the money you got for the years you're going to actually play, it would have been a mistake. It would have clearly been a mistake. Injuries can happen to anyone, I get it. But, like, in retrospect, knowing what we know now, you wouldn't have given him, you wouldn't offer him the deal that they offered him. He would have missed a full year, and you'd have paid him for it. So I think the Cowboys must be looking at the Rams and the Eagles right now and thinking, like, could you imagine if the Eagles didn't have to take the cap hit that they're going to have to take to trade Wentz? Yeah, they would get a better deal for him, and they'd have a better cap situation. The Cowboys have to be considering that. Right now, Dak is a tradable commodity that doesn't hurt them to trade, really. You give them a big deal, it hurts them to trade. And if there are 18-plus quarterbacks on the move this offseason, this tells me Dak is one of them. Or you include him in the hype video. Either you include him in the, like, this tells me he's going to be one of them. And that was straight talk wireless, no contract, no compromise.
He is the greatest football player to ever play, you know, and I can tell my kids I play with that man. I'm just blessed.
We knew we were playing a great football team tonight, and we got the job done. So
it's hands down one of the greatest accomplishments in sports history.
It sure is. It sure is. 43 years old, new team, in a COVID year, can't practice. Although, let me say this. What we've seen in the COVID year is experience was an enormous advantage. The Dodgers have a lot of deep playoff experience on their roster, and they won the World Series. LeBron James has more experience than anyone in the NBA, and they won the championship. And Tom Brady, same thing, and he won the championship. In fact, I think what it seems to me is that the circumstances of COVID, because you couldn't practice, because you could, meant that if you were a very experienced postseason player, you were at an advantage. But nevertheless, it's still very impressive. At 43, it's just impressive that he's running around, let alone playing at an elite level in the NFL. But on a brand new team, when you can't practice, all that, very impressive. There's no two ways about it. I just need to check some of the more hysterical reactions to this, however. And by some of the more hysterical reactions, I mean everyone but mine. Everyone is wrong about this except for me. Because everyone seems to be saying this is the greatest postseason run by a QB ever. Even Mike Greenberg, the usually very well-reasoned, he has very well-thought-out takes, is wrong on this. Listen to Greeny.
Number two, this is epic. Troy Aikman, in one of the two Super Bowl years that he had, I have to count up these Roman numerals, Super Bowl 28, he beat Brett Favre, Steve Young, and Jim Kelly. You beat Favre, Young, and Kelly in one postseason run. That could easily have been number one on today's list, but it's not. I had to give it to Brady this year. I had to. Now, yes, he beat Taylor Heinicke in the wild card round, with no disrespect to Mr. Heinicke. But then he beat Drew Brees on the road, Aaron Rodgers on the road, and Patrick Mahomes, who's the heir to his throne. I think that's number one.
Well, Greeny may be just talking about quarterbacks here. If he's just about name brand of the quarterback, he has a case. If it's just name brand of the quarterback. But I know the fight game really well. And I know how you get an old guy's name on your resume. It looks nice and shiny. But when you dig a little bit, you're like, oh, but that dude was done. You know, and of course, Greeny's also right in the sense that, and Stephen A. brought this up on the air the other day. You know, it's like the scene from Coming to America. I don't know how old he was. I know he whooped his you-know-what, though. Rocky, but Joe Louis was 37 years old when he fought Rocky. I don't know how old he was. I know he whooped his you-know-what, right? Like, I get that. Like, who cares about the details? Just look at the shiny, glittery names. But let's look at this right now. Drew Brees may have been in the last game of his career, coming off multiple fractured ribs and a punctured lung, and clearly did not play very well. That's just what it is. So let's back up. Heinicke on a 7-9 team. Give me a break. Drew Brees at the end, no longer elite. Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau during an MVP year, spectacular win. Spectacular win. And you say, wow, look at Mahomes' pelt on the wall too, right? It's like, what was it in Predator 2 when Danny Glover got on the ship and he saw all the pelts on the wall and one of them was of Alien, right? Predator is, oh my God, look at that pelt on the wall. Tom Brady got Mahomes' pelt on the wall, but let's be honest, everybody. Mahomes didn't have an offensive line. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Best quarterback on the field in the Super Bowl was Patrick Mahomes. The fact of the matter is Mahomes did things no one else in history could have done. He threw on the run, like in absurd positions, two balls in the end zone that hit receivers in the face, one in the hands, and they all dropped them. It's not his fault. He can't catch two. Mahomes was pressured on 26 of 59 dropbacks, highest in Super Bowl history. Tom Brady was pressured on 4 of 30, lowest in his Super Bowl career. And Mahomes was only blitzed under 10% of the time. I think it's also a Super Bowl record. So everyone was always covered because they never had to send an extra guy, and he was always under pressure. And he was made to look, I mean, like, if you really keep your eyes on Mahomes, he was unbelievable. But anyway, so let's start with Heinicke for a 7-9 team. The Washington football team won what everyone considers the worst division in the history of the NFL. A 7-9 team with a no-name quarterback was the first win. The second win was a Drew Brees who looks like he's at the end. The third win is Aaron Rodgers, who was spectacular, huge win for Brady, amazing win. And the fourth win is against Mahomes, who had zero offensive line. Now let's compare that to the man who owns not only the greatest Super Bowl run of all time, but the second greatest one, too, both clearly and by far better than Tom Brady's. And that's Eli Manning for the New York Football Giants. You heard me right. Let's match him up. First season, 07. A 9-7 Giants team who no one thought a lot of either before the season or during the season or heading into the playoffs. Unlike this Bucs team, who many people looked on paper and said they're going to make the Super Bowl because they're loaded. They were loaded before Brady got there, and then he brought Gronk and AB and Leonard Fournette. That Eli Manning faced not Heinicke on a 7-9 team in week one, but Jeff Garcia, who was an actual starting NFL quarterback, solid quarterback at least, on a 9-17 in Tampa, 17 in Tampa. Not 7-9 Heinicke, Jeff Garcia, 9-7 Tampa. Then he didn't go on the road, Eli, to face a washed-up Drew Brees or a Drew Brees who really couldn't do it anymore. He faced Tony Romo in his prime. And let me be very clear. Tony Romo, that took the 13-3 Cowboys to the playoffs that year, was better, read my lips, better than the Drew Brees on this year's Saints. Romo then was better than Brees now. 13-3 Cowboys, Eli beat them. Then Eli went to Lambeau and beat Brett Favre when he was still great. Now, there I'll tell you, for the first time, Brady's accomplishment was even better because it was Rodgers in an MVP season against the 13-3 team. By the way, Packers were also 13-3 when Eli beat them. But I'll give the edge to Brady there. Then Brady faces a depleted Chiefs team, but Brady's at home. It's the first Super Bowl ever played at home for the home team. Eli went on the road not to face a depleted team, but to face the undefeated Patriots. That Patriots team was about to be crowned by everyone the greatest team in the history of American team sports. Forget the 27 or the 61 Yankees or whatever team you want to say is the name. You know, forget the 85 Bears. Forget the 72-win Michael Jordan team. If that Patriots team wins the Super Bowl, it went undefeated in the NFL in a 16-game schedule. Tom Brady, that was the greatest offense of all time. That was the Randy Moss team. Brady threw 50 touchdowns that year. That was the best version of Tom Brady ever on by far the best team he ever played on. That was about to be crowned the greatest team of all time. And unlike Brady, who just did it at home, Eli had to actually go on the road to play in the Super Bowl. It's not close. Like, Brady's edge at Lambeau Rodgers this year to Eli playing Favre is a slight edge. But actually, Eli's win against Romo versus Brady's against an old Drew Brees, Eli's was better and clearly better, Tampa team with an actual quarterback versus Heinicke for a 7-9 Washington team. And then the Super Bowl's not close. Tampa was barely the underdog, 3 points, and they should have been favored because of all the injuries to the Kansas City offensive line. And they were at home. Eli beat the greatest team of all time with a prime time. Everyone's telling me, well, Brady's the GOAT. He's the greatest ever. That was Brady's team. That was the best team he was ever on. So clearly there's real, like, I can't imagine what argument you could possibly bring against that number one slam dunk. Clearly and by far, Eli's run was better than Brady's this year. Case closed. Next one, 2011. Eli did it again. This time, Matt Ryan on a 10-win Atlanta team to start things off. Then against San Francisco, Alex Smith. No, Alex Smith then, is he better than Drew Brees? Now, it's similar, actually. That's as good as Alex Smith got, but he was on a ferocious defense. That team was a ferocious defensive team. And I would not say that this year's Saints team was better than that year's Niners team. I think they were similar, actually. And Brees this year was similar to Smith that year. But he beat them, too. And then Eli went to Lambeau. And you know how Brady just beat a 13-3 Rodgers team who won the MVP, Rodgers? Eli beat a 15-1 Rodgers team. By the record, it was the best Rodgers ever, best team he was ever on. 15-1 at Lambeau. If you want to say, well, Rodgers won the MVP, he's 37 now. He was 27 then. But if you want to call that a wash, fine. If you want to give even Brady the slight edge against for beating the Saints versus Eli beating Alex Smith and the Niners, I don't agree, but you can argue it. But clearly the win against Matt Ryan's Falcons, who won 10 games, is better than a 7-9 Heinicke team. And now in the Super Bowl again. The Chiefs were diminished. There's no two ways about it. They were slight favorites, and they shouldn't have been. Eli beat, again, everyone's saying Brady's the GOAT. This is 10 years ago. So one a 43-year-old Brady. It was a 33-year-old Brady, and he beat him again. What? Now, 2011, Brady has a better case against. Still loses the case. Clearly loses that case. But the 2007 Eli run? Don't embarrass yourself comparing that to Tom Brady's run this year to that. Now, I know what everyone's going to say. Tom Brady's 43, and that makes it more extraordinary. Well, yes, if you want to factor age in, you can say, wow, he's 43, that's amazing. He was on a loaded team. Many people picked them to get to the Super Bowl this year in the offseason, and they played their best football late in the regular season. Eli was on a team that scared no one. He was the underdog all the time. And no one expected the Giants to win the Super Bowl that year, either in the preseason, during the season, or in the playoffs. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. By the way, Brady's Super Bowl win was extraordinary. Like, if it wasn't for Eli, I'd be arguing, yes, this is the greatest Super Bowl run of all time, all things considered. Is it going to influence LeBron James, though? Like, how long does LeBron want to play? And is he on Brady's level? Does he have a chance to even pass it? Like, who's had the more impressive career? Can LeBron match Brady's longevity? There's a lot of stuff to get into. Finding great candidates to hire can be like trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter instead. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. It's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/MAX. Does LeBron have a shot at passing Tom Brady? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I hope people have finally understood Eli's runs, both of them, but especially the one in 07, clearly and by far more impressive than Brady's this year. But other than those two Eli runs, I would put Brady on top. He's third over this Super Bowl run, third overall. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Third overall, meaning you want to argue it's the third best Super Bowl run behind both of Eli's, okay. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. By the way, LeBron James said that Tom Brady's seventh Super Bowl win at the age of 43, that sounds funny even just to say, was inspiring, but it doesn't influence his career timeline. You know, something needs to be said about this. LeBron says there is no timeline, and the question about retirement was framed obviously around Tom Brady leading the Tampa Bay Bucks to a win over the Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl 55 at the age of 43. LeBron, by the way, 28 points, 14 boards, 12 assists in an OT win against the Thunder. But this needs to be said. Football is a more punishing game, obviously. And yet we've seen many, many examples of quarterbacks age 37, 38, 39, either the best in the game or among the very best in the game. We have seen no examples of that in the NBA. Never is a guy 37, 8, or 9, and he's the best player in the NBA, or one of the two or three best. Not Kareem, who was as great as it gets, right, late in his career, but he was no longer MVP by that time, MVP caliber by that time. LeBron still is. So Brady at 43 has smashed through the age 41 limit set by Warren Moon, right? No doubt. But LeBron being 37... You know, age 36, 37 in the NBA, if you're still the best ever, that's never been done, or the best in the game, that's never been done before. I would not say it's quite like being 43 in the NFL, but Brady's not the best player in the NFL. He won the Super Bowl on a loaded team, and he's among the best players in the NFL. He's not better than Mahomes right now. I don't even think he outplayed Mahomes in the Super Bowl, to be honest. He had, you know, again, pressured on 4 out of 30 dropbacks compared to 29 of 56 for Mahomes. But he's clearly still elite, which is amazing. Is it more amazing than LeBron being clearly still the best at his age in the NBA? I don't know. Maybe 43 is so outrageously old to be doing it. Maybe. But it's close. Can LeBron ever catch Brady in terms of greatness? Here's the issue. There's never been a GOAT in the NFL. Not really. When I was a kid, people used to say Johnny Unitas from Once Upon a Time. And they said, well, maybe Jerry Rice or Lawrence Taylor or Walter Payton or Joe Montana. But it was really position GOATs. It wasn't like overall GOAT in the NFL. Jim Brown, it wasn't overall GOAT. But now Brady doing this at his age, he is the greatest football player who ever lived. Everyone agrees. For the first time in NFL history, maybe since Johnny Unitas, everyone agrees on that. Is it impossible for LeBron to pass Brady? The issue is, if you look at the table, who's sitting at the table, as Kendrick Perkins said on First Take today, they're both sitting at the same table. Jordan's at the head of the table. Jordan sits at the head. Now, who's facing Jordan, right? Everyone's around. There's Muhammad Ali, there's this one, there's that one, or Sugar Ray Robinson. There's either Jack Nicklaus or Tiger Woods. There's this one. Who's facing Jordan? Right now it's Tom Brady. But the problem is, it's hard to perceive of LeBron as Tom Brady because he happens to play the same sport Michael Jordan played. Do you understand? If Tom Brady had played the same sport, if there was a Michael Jordan of football, Brady wouldn't have passed him. It's LeBron's misfortune that he's compared to the greatest athlete in the history of planet Earth, or at least the most dominant athlete in his sport in the history of planet Earth. I think if LeBron, see, here's the thing about Brady, and then I'm going to take some calls. And this is something I think that a lot of people miss about Brady. And you'll see why in a second. I'm in a very good position to talk about this. In 2016, July 2016, I said he's about to fall off the cliff, right? About to fall off a cliff. Gave him 18 months, meaning two more seasons at most. And that was 5 years ago. Here's the crazy thing. Those 5 years were the most successful of Brady's career. That's where he put the GOAT conversation to bed. He never, at any point in his career up until then, in the first 15 years of his career, he went to six finals and won four. In the last 5 years of his career, he went to four finals and won three. He almost matched his total from the first 15 years in the last five. So while right now it looks like, well, LeBron has some catching up to do, what if LeBron does the same thing at the end of his career? Remember, the Warriors of KD and Steph and Klay and Dre are not there anymore. What if LeBron does the same sort of thing, goes to 3 out of 4, wins 3 out of 5 finals, and all of a sudden you look around and go, he has 8 rings? Steven from Vegas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
How you doing, Max? Thanks for having me on. First, I want to say rest in peace, Coach Schottenheimer. Just get that out of the way for sure.
By the way, real quick about Schottenheimer. People didn't know what he had, till it was gone. I mean, as a coach, not from the earth. Schottenheimer was a great coach who got – he had a couple bad calls in the playoffs, but he basically got a little unlucky in the playoffs. But his teams were always in the playoffs, and he was a legitimately great head coach. So, rest in peace to the great Marty Schottenheimer. Now, go ahead, Steven.
Yeah, sorry, I digress. I do appreciate your debating skills. I love your faithfulness and charity to anyone you argue with. But what you left out in what you said about Eli and his two runs was that he wasn't really gunned for like the past Super Bowl winners, like the GOAT, like Tom Brady. Everyone was gunning for Tom, but Eli slipped through unnoticed, like you said, unnoticed, not being taken seriously.
Maybe the first
time.
But by the second time, he had just come off the most clutch greatest Super Bowl run ever a couple years before that, in 07. Now it's 11. By that point, they knew at least there was playoff Eli, right? And the second run was not as good as the first, but almost. And I'll tell you something else. In the first run, I think the most thrilling play in the history of football with the greatest stakes and everything was the tie replay, the Eli to tie replay. But there was some luck involved. The refs could have blown the whistle. They could have called that play dead. Eli had 5 guys on him. Tyree catches the ball against his helmet. It barely doesn't touch a blade of grass, so it's complete. All those things. But in the second Super Bowl run, that wasn't luck to Manningham. Eli threw, you could argue that's the greatest pass in the history of the sport. Like, considering the stakes again, Super Bowl on the line, look at the difficulty of that play. Eli was less lucky the second time around. So I hear what you're saying, but that's kind of vague, Well, he wasn't being gunned for. Everyone's competing as hard as they can. And Eli beat better teams with better quarterbacks than Tom Brady just did. He just did. This Chiefs team with a decimated offensive line playing at Tampa, meaning on the road, a home game for Brady, is not even in the same stratosphere, on the same planet as Eli playing on the road in the Super Bowl, like everyone has until Tom Brady this year, against the greatest Tom Brady ever, on the greatest team ever, with a prime, in his prime. Randy Moss, Tom Brady, everybody 16-0 in the regular season, stomping mud holes in teams along the way, greatest offense of all time, about to be declared the greatest team in the history of American team sports. Greater than the 85 Bears, greater than the 72-win Bulls, greater than any Yankees team, the greatest team ever. Eli beat that team. That's so much beyond Brady beating a banged-up Chiefs team at home. It's like, I don't know why people would want to compare it. Richard from Tennessee, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Max?
Go ahead, Richard.
Hey, I was calling to just kind of parallel agree with what you're saying, but this is a regular fan sitting back watching the sport over the past 20 years. Mm-hmm. Brady has been the quarterback, and he's probably the smartest quarterback to ever play the game. I would say
Agreed.
He's probably the luckiest quarterback to play the game. But I can't say he's the greatest. He's the greatest by numbers. Let me digress there. But he's been lucky in the majority of his Super Bowl wins. I mean, he's a Pete Carroll blindside run the dang ball away from losing to Seattle. He beat Jake Lahome and with the Carolina Panthers and Jim Fisher, terrible coaching, not a great team. He beat Philadelphia Eagles Donovan McNabb by 3 stinking points. He's won.
That
Super
said,
Bowls
let me
by
let me
kicker.
Richard. I think that's a good argument, but the one thing you're leaving out, it's a little bit selective perception, right? Because the thing you're leaving out is he has 3 Super Bowl losses. Those were all by the skin of his teeth. The 2 he lost to Eli could have easily gone the other way. And the one he lost to Philadelphia was razor thin, and he threw for over 500 yards. So the point about Brady is he's always given his team a very good chance to win, as it turns out, 7 out of 10 times. He's always taken his team there or helped guide them there. And he, now, what you said about he's the smartest and the luckiest, I think those two things are connected. Luck, as Branch Rickey said, who helped Jackie Robinson break the color barrier in baseball, the inventor of the farm system, the great GM of the Brooklyn Dodgers back in the day. Luck, Branch Rickey said, is the residue of design. The reason Brady seems the luckiest is because he is the smartest. Brady makes the best decisions of any quarterback ever, and that gives him a huge advantage, and it makes up for some of the things he can't do physically that others can. He has a strong arm, he's an accurate passer, but mainly he processes information quicker and he's better prepared than everybody. That's why he's the GOAT. So I agree that he's been lucky, but luck is the residue of design. He's been lucky because he is the greatest, because he is the smartest, he is the best prepared. Got a better Super Bowl run than Eli and Brady? Is there a better one? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Axe Max is next. If you're looking for world-class soccer, ESPN Plus is where to find it. The best teams, the biggest stars, and over 20 international leagues and tournaments. Then there's a bunch of words I don't recognize. Raj, help me out here.
Serie A, Italian. Bundesliga, that's Germany. MLS, that's right here at your hometown. Major League Soccer.
Wait, MLS, you say?
Yes, yes. Oh, okay. MLS, that stands for Major League Soccer. LAFC. Shouts out to you, LAFC, and my people. Yeah. Hey, the Copa del Rey, that's a good one. And more.
Hey, I don't know what you just said, but we can get a translator in here to explain it to me. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Celebrating Black History always.
Lift every voice.
In 1920, halfback Fritz Pollard led the Akron Pros to a championship in the newly formed National Football League. The next season, he accepted the role of player coach, becoming the first Black head coach in NFL history. Today, his impact is felt through the Fritz Pollard Alliance, an organization advocating for diversity in coaching and front office positions.
Black History Always, The Undefeated, and ESPN Radio.
What's crazy about that whole Fritz Pollard thing is I think there are fewer Black coaches now than then when he broke in. It's unbelievable how few Black coaches there are and executives in the NFL. Well, no Black owners. Should it really take Black owners to have Black coaches and GMs? Is that really what it should take? The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. And by the way, you really want to, like, the Rooney Rule doesn't work. Well, the Rooney Rule is fine. It's just one tool in what should be a whole toolbox. It's not like, hey, here's the Rooney Rule. Racism is now cured. But you really want to fix hiring practices in the NFL, let's start by encouraging Black ownership, by opening that up a bit, the old boys network at the ownership level. Time for Axe Max. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Axe Max.
Tony from L.A., you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. What you want to Axe Max?
Hey, Max, my buddy. This is the Giants fan out here from L.A. How are you doing today?
Yes, what's going on, Tony?
Good, good. Hey, listen, please let me get this in and without disconnecting the call, please.
Tony? You spent 20 seconds saying hello. Just got to launch.
Here's what I want to say, my buddy Max. When I normally agree on 10 out of 11 things you say when you debate Stephen A. Smith. But when you say the penalties did not play a part of Kansas City's loss, I have to respectfully disagree with you. At the 7:48 mark in the second quarter, they called a holding on Tre'Davious Ward, and it was a Brady interception, and the league had to make sure that Brady kept possession of the ball. It should have been that was not defensive holding, which would have had the Chiefs would have had possession of the ball, and if they score, now it's 10-7 Kansas City. It gets better. I want to bring up another two or three more calls. Bad calls in this game, and then I'll take time to hear what you have to say.
Well, you can't. You don't have time to be. If you wanted to bring up three or four calls, Tony, you just have to launch. What about the interception that was the holding call that got negated? What about this? You got other people are waiting to talk. I'll say this. I didn't say it didn't affect the final score. I think it did. I just didn't think it affected who won and lost. I think the Bucs were going to beat the Chiefs.
But wait, Tony brought up timestamps and everything. He had all the stats. All the stats. You know, all that.
Anthony from New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, how you doing? I want to get back to the LeBron James, Tom Brady comparison. Yep. I just don't understand how you compare sports, considering football, you talk about elements, the weather, the rain, the grass, the fields, where basketball, you're going into totally conditions that are the same exact every single day, and the weather, there's no weather you have to worry about.
But you know what the problem with you saying that is? What you're saying is, but if you play football, that's the same for all football players. If you play basketball, it's the same for all basketball players. So still you're being compared to your contemporaries in your sport. Well, football is just somehow intrinsically harder. Well, then it's intrinsically harder for everyone who plays, making it the same for everyone who plays. I don't understand that argument. Football's a harder sport to win in than basketball. Well, then it's a harder sport for everyone to win in than basketball. So basketball is an easier sport to win in, which means that all the other players who play in the NBA, not just LeBron James, it's easier for them to win. So why does LeBron win so much? James from Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yo, what's the word, man? I'm going to make it quick for you, man. It's the GOAT
seconds.
Talk for me. Tom Brady has more championships than any franchise in the NFL.
Yeah, because he won the 6 with the Patriots and then one more with a different franchise. You're right. By the way, Brady's the GOAT in football, period. No one's arguing that. You see what the Cowboys did with Dak? We could argue about that. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.